T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein.
Nope.
All aboard for Night Train.
Mark Grody.
Good morning, Mark Grody.
Good morning, Jeff and Tom. Just gorgeous down here on the sideline today.
Lawrence Holmes.
Every time at Mariano's at the self-check, where you weigh the thing, and then it says, put your onions in the bag.
Put your onions in the bag.
Well, now what Mariano's needs to do is they need to change out. They have
onions.
To. Yes, that's what they should have.
Onions, baby onions.
You know how many times that I am doing hawkisms?
Yeah.
Like just walking around, finding something in a store and be like, it will. Get on back there. Will.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice play by Alex Rios. Yes.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk.
And the 2018 season, they were in the Final Four.
Embarrassing.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Layla says that we don't play that enough, and I think that she's right. It is pretty fantastic. Mark Grody is here. He is in the house. Why? Because Dan lost his voice. And we all heard it happening. And we were like, you should just go home.
I was getting the real-time updates from Ryan Barth as he was saying, hey, Grody, you available tomorrow? We might need you.
Yeah, we had to go to the emergency, Grody.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm a specialist, man. I am
in case of emergency, break glass, and there's Grody.
I'm a radio minute man. I'm always ready. You guys can't handle what I do. I am specially qualified and trained to be ready at a moment's notice. It's a very special skill.
We do appreciate it. I'm really glad that you are here and you're available and that you did the quick turnaround, which is not always easy. You do the nighttime show last night with Gabe Ramirez,
yes.
And now you're here and you're hanging with us until 2 o'clock.
Dude, I love it.
They did tell you that the show is until 2, right?
They did, and they said I might even have to hang out a little bit after 2 o'clock to talk to Parkins and Spiegel.
That is
so
correct.
That's what I've been told. That's my understanding. That is the contract that I signed. I'm like an NBA player. I sign like 1-day contracts and 12-day contracts and things like that. But I love being here today, man. Like, I'd love to be out at Halas Hall today because the action will be fun out there. But I like sort of being the pregame show for Matt Eberflus. And now that Zach Wilson is being benched per Adam Schefter, hey, they put it out there, Matt Eberflus. Why don't you?
Your move.
It's your move, sir.
Your move for the Mike White, Trevor Siemian game. If you like the thing with Zach Wilson, it's really interesting. And like we were saying with Mully and Haw, I didn't like that he kind of shot up the draft boards because I'm like, I know that the BYU that season had an impressive year, but just looking at him, I was like, I don't see the same things that I saw from Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, this feels like one of those guys where teams got desperate and then they got stupid. And then the same thing with Baker Mayfield, the year that he got drafted number one, where it's like, yeah, I see why he deserved the Heisman Trophy, but I don't necessarily see anything that projects out as star quarterback in the NFL. And maybe Zach Wilson will end up using this as an opportunity to learn and turn things around as he goes forward. But that's a pretty rough indictment on you that it's clear the locker room doesn't want you to be the quarterback of this team.
The Jets are kind of in the mode that in a different way that the Bears were in 2018 and to some of 2019 as well, when they had it in 2018, I'm comfortable in calling that an elite defense, and they didn't have the offense. That was different because the team liked Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
Like, he was a respected guy in the locker room, but it was
same type of thing with Mitch too. Like, for the draft, like, if you were watching him play at North Carolina, you're same. Like, I don't see it. I see a developmental prospect with upside. I don't see the number two pick in the draft.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that GMs and scouts GMs have been willing to take on projects at the court, like, with really high picks. Mitch Trubisky was a project,
right? And they convinced themselves, and the video of Ryan Pace, and everyone had conviction. Everyone had him as the top quarterback on our board.
We're fired up about that.
Yes. You had him as your top quarterback. You had him as your top quarterback.
I know you did.
I know that you loved him. And it's like, look at what you've done.
I admit, like, I fell for it. Like, when Trubisky, I was like, all right. And part of why I fell for it, Lawrence, is because I didn't know much about him. But I'm like, everybody says this guy is great, and he's like Brett Favre, and he paints outside of the box, and this guy, he can run, and he can fling it down the field. It's going to be – I fell for it. But now, with having covered every second of Mitch Trubisky's career, I was like, oh, wait,
I can't believe
minute.
I fell for the banana in the tailpipe.
That's exactly right, because he was a – project, and that's what teams are willing to do at the quarterback position. We mentioned Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. These are projects that are being taken in the top five of the draft. That's wild.
You know, before John Gruden was outed as a racist, a homophobe, and a misogynist, he had this show on ESPN where he'd bring the quarterbacks in.
Yeah, he did.
And I saw the episode with Mitch Trubisky, and I literally, like, as I was writing my list for possible quarterbacks for the Bears, I crossed him off of it.
Wow, good for you.
Because it was so bad. And Gruden had asked him to give a hard count, and Mitch had no idea what he was talking about. And I was like, that's not good. And I get the quarterbacking itself has changed a little bit, and most of these guys are playing in systems where they aren't underneath center a lot. But I was like, ooh-wee, if he doesn't know that, there's a long way to go.
If you want to go on a hard count, what would you say? Hard two. Let me hear it.
Here we go. Hard two.
Blue 85, 10.
And we run the play.
Now, if we're going a hard count, remember this. We're going a hard count. We're going to try to get them to jump off sides.
Right.
So it's blue 85. Set hut! Hut!
We're just giving twice?
Yeah, giving them two huts, all right?
Gotcha.
That's got to be tough, though, to be in process. To be in that.
Just immediately. I just put a strike right through his name.
I mean, come on. Isn't he in an office doing that? Like, wouldn't it, like, you're out of your element and you're being asked to do a hard call in front of John Gruden? I can't cross him off for that. I'll cross him off for other things, but not that.
No, I'm crossing him off for that. And after, like, watching him at North Carolina, like, where he was really good and very productive, but I didn't feel like it was, I felt like Mitch would have been, like, the perfect second round quarterback, where if you have an established guy and you could have him sit and maybe he learns and he could push that guy, I felt like that's where he, but not number, like, when I saw some of it, I'm like, come on, man. Now, at the time, like we didn't know about John Gruden, we also didn't know that Deshaun Watson was a predator back then.
Right.
At the time, his tape and resume was far beyond Mitch Trubisky. And, like, with Mahomes, you could see the stuff, but you didn't believe it because it's a oop-de-oop crazy Cliff Kingsbury air raid BS offense that he was running. And you go, oh, yeah, that guy's intriguing. But, my God, like the mental gymnastics that people did to be like, oh, no, Mitch is a better prospect than Watson. Like, come on.
Yeah, that was crazy, and it was well documented in the Weider Campbell report, where they didn't even go talk to Mitch Trubisky. I was thinking about Patrick Mahomes and who tipped me off. You're going to love this. Who tipped me off to Patrick Mahomes is going to, like, I was told by a person, look, dude, this guy.
This is it.
This guy.
This is Michael Jordan.
And that person that told me that was, ready for this? Cubs pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy. Because Tommy Hotovy is a huge, he's from Kansas City. So he's a massive Chiefs fan. So I remember this because I don't remember what city we were in because you never remember. But we're in the little workout room and the draft coverage is on like from the next day. And he's like, this guy, Pat Mahomes. He's like, I know, man. Like people think he's like, this is the guy. Keep an eye on this guy. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I was happy with Trubisky. I was like, oh, you don't know anything, man.
You don't watch enough North Carolina football, mister.
We're taking a flyer on a project. You got nothing on us.
That's crazy.
So it's funny that I love that
Tommy Hotovy is out here scouting NFL people.
Oh, he loved it, man. He was really into it. Like, he knew the minutiae. You know what I mean? Like, that clearly is a passion project for Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach.
There's a ton of football inside of baseball clubhouses.
Oh yeah. Oh, fantasy football is huge.
Someone got slapped for it earlier this year, right?
Yeah, that's right. who took the slapping? It's a name. It's a guy we know.
It was Jock Peterson.
Yes.
Jock Peterson got slapped for fantasy football.
That's right.
Wait, who slapped him?
It was
Tommy Pham?
No.
It was Tommy Pham.
It was Pham.
What's up, Pham?
Yeah.
That's right.
PH.
He's out here slapping people.
He's a free agent, by the way. Maybe a White Sox target?
Sounds about right, doesn't
it? Sure.
That sounds about
right.
Why
not?
Yeah.
Just don't let him run the fantasy football pool.
What's going on with the Sox? Anything?
You know what? Look.
I'm kind of lost with everything else right now.
Grody, we bring you in here because you are
you are
joy in a bottle.
Bears.
And then, of course, like don't take me down White Sox Street today.
I'm sorry.
Mike Rankin and I yesterday were sitting here like talking about the White Sox, and it was like, it's just exactly. It just got more and more depressing.
Now, who's the manager they hired? Huh? Who's this guy?
His name is Pedro Grifol.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of hasn't been able to hire his own staff.
It's unbelievable. Like, the whole Grifol. Like, nobody really knows anything about him. We all know a lot about him because we all do our digging. We interview people, but nobody has any clue whatsoever what Pedro Grifol will be when he's the manager of the White Sox.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with
really? You're accepting that because of what the predecessor was.
You are correct.
Yeah.
It's a bad place to be as a fan or a broadcaster. It's a terrible place to be, Groats, where you're kind of like, look, just don't bring back the other guy.
Yeah, it's relative acceptance, relative to the predecessor.
The things that I've heard Grifol say I like, the things that I think, and Mike and I think probably agrees, the stuff that we want the White Sox to be better at, Grifol seems to be someone who is respected in caring about how games are caught, caring about defense, caring about like the attitude of preparation to get you ready for a game. These are all things that have been missing for the White Sox. So anyone that says that to me is going to be like, great, someone who understands what the problem is.
Yeah, the bar is set at you're better than Tony La Russa, and then we'll see.
You're right. And you're right.
The good thing about Grifol is he's going to get that clean objectives. Like, nobody really goes into this with, oh, we know what Grifol's going to do in this scenario, you know? So, like, he is going to get, we're all going to be seeing it in real time, which I do like that part.
No, I dig it, man. Like, I'm
sorry about all this.
Yeah, we are too.
Sorry about all this.
We are too.
And bringing up the Sox, that is.
I was joking. I met with Congregation Beth Shalom on Sunday. They were nice enough to invite me out. We had a good time, and they were asking me a lot of questions about the Cubs. And I was talking about how, while all of this has gone on with the White Sox, like, the Cubs have been quietly like stockpiling all their stuff and like getting ready. And it's going to be the worst thing for the White Sox as an organization, not White Sox fans. It's going to be the worst thing when the Cubs are like, you know what? We're ready to spend money again.
Yeah.
Here's Carlos Correa for everyone. And like, and the White Sox are going to be like, oh, you guys not talking about us anymore.
That's what Rick Hahn will say. That's what, you know, because he hates the Cubs.
Well, he doesn't.
He just gets the game.
He Rick plays the, like, he doesn't.
Did Rick grow up a Sox fan?
He grew up a Cubs fan.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And he's a huge Bears fan. But he grew up a Cubs fan. And okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, so he's winking through all
of
this.
Yeah,
he
gets the stay out of White Sox business stuff. But as an organization, like, they're sensitive to that stuff.
I know
Don't tell people in this town that 2015, 2016 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Half the town will be pretty upset with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you were celebrating, man.
He's doing like a wink at the whole.
Okay, good.
You know what I mean?
Good for him. Good for Rick. Like good for you, Rick.
At least I think he is. Maybe he's fully indoctrinated now and he's not doing that, but it always felt like he was kind of like, I got to do the thing where I do the thing and I act like, oh, we hate the Cubs. Like,
don't we have an opening at 1:30? Can we get his Bears pick or his thoughts on, once we get through all of this Justin Fields stuff? You know,
that I'm his favorite person right now.
Maybe we can make it. Really?
And to be fair, he's not my favorite person.
Hold on a second.
Sucker.
You used to have a good. I remember you used to have him on your show. You're like the only one who would have him on. What happened?
I really respect Rick and I really like Rick. But when things don't go right, as much as I like and respect you, I got to get after you.
Okay, so the critiques have hurt his feelings is what you're saying. Essentially.
It feels that way to me.
Okay. Because what? You call him and he doesn't call you back, or you see him and he gives you the...
We have made multiple requests throughout the last two seasons to have Rick on. Not just on this show, my show, or before. And it was funny. We had this, what I thought was a pleasant, confrontation, not the right word, run-in at the beginning of the season. Layla and I were taking the bat cave down to the first level of the rate. And I had said, I was like, I'm sure we're going to run into Rick at some point. And Rick was like coming up the stairs while we were going down the stairs and, pleasant, professional. No, like, we're not going to fist fight or anything like that unless he wants to. I mean, I'm ready to throw hands. I'm ready to throw hands for the White Sox. So,
I'm holding you back, Alfonso Boone.
Hey, you know me, Gross.
I do know you.
I've been waiting for an opportunity.
I know. That's part of why I'm here today. I'm here to
keep the rage monster that lives inside my chest.
The Alfonso Boone story is awesome.
I love the Alfonso Boone story. Yes.
It's a stupid story, Mike Rankin.
Basically, Lawrence got punched by you got punched by Alfonso Boone, right?
No, that's not what happened at all. I think Alfonso Boone was like, who's that crazy person who wants to fight
he's
me?
He's calling me out.
Like,
what did I say?
He's like this big. What
he's
is
on
he
the
doing?
Tape for next year.
Basically, Alfonso Boone, wasn't Alfonso Boone like 6'7"? Wasn't he
325 pounds. Yeah. I was a yapping chihuahua, but I will fight you.
I love it. Going into the Bears locker room looking for a fight.
Yeah.
I love you, Lord. I do. That's so great.
Shout out to John Gilmore for picking me up and taking me out.
You go over here.
Come here. We're going to walk you over here so that you aren't acting like a crazy person.
Did Bears PR at that point know anything that was going on in that scenario?
We had a conversation about it afterwards.
Okay.
It was and things with me and Boone were good after
good.
That.
Good. Oh, that's awesome.
Every now and again, you got to bow your neck, and you got to be willing to take an ass whooping.
And now this long-distance dedication to Alfonso Boone.
Shout out to Alfonso Boone.
Alfonso Boone, where are you? What number was Alfonso Boone?
90?
Yeah, that feels right. That does feel right.
And then Ian...
Spellman was a 92. Alonzo Spellman, wasn't he a 90?
God, what was Ian's last name?
Oh, Ian, the guy from Florida, right?
Yeah, he was 95.
My brain won't stop
Tommy
going to
Harris
Hap.
And
Ian,
it's
Ian,
not Ian,
Ian
Hap.
It's not Ian Hap, but that's the only
Tank
place my brain
Johnson,
will.
99.
Because I love the Ian, because he was like a fifth round pick. And
it wasn't Ian Page.
No, we should know this. Ian.
Ian Scott.
Thank you. Thank you. Ian Scott. Yep. Big, grindy defensive lineman.
Just go in there and do the job.
Yep. Weren't he and Boone drafted in the same round?
I think so. Fourth round?
I feel like they both came in together. And they were like that. Or maybe he was a free agent. I don't remember. But I just remember those two. Well, Ian Scott in particular, I think I just thought he was going to be good because he went to Florida. I think that's what I thought.
Texter says, thanks, Mark. Your stupid question about the Sox is that your co-host threatening Rick Hahn. I ain't threatening him.
No, nobody. Rick Hahn.
I just said if he wants to scrap, if that's how we can fix things,
right,
then we can do that.
Get it over with.
That's all I'm saying.
And then we're friends the next day.
That's exactly how it works. That's how me and Kenny like interact with each other.
Oh,
we
yeah?
don't fight each other, but we have been known to throw a 4 or 12-letter word
wow.
at the other person.
I saw
repeatedly.
That's amazing.
And then everything's cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good relationship. Seriously.
I love Kenny. I love and you know why? I figured it out. We're very similar.
Okay.
And that's why occasionally we will butt heads.
Uh-huh.
And then we're like, oh, you said what you needed to say?
Yeah.
Cool. I said what I need to say yeah. too. We Plug cool?
Yeah.
We cool.
Who can relate? I mean, you guys can relate to each other.
That's
I saw Kenny Williams at D4 in my neighborhood. That was several years ago, and he was very. He sees me, and he's with his lovely lady, and he looks at me. And he goes, "Oh, hey, Mike, how are you?"
My guy, Mike.
I didn't even correct. I was good, Kenny. Good to see you.
I'm doing great.
I've always kind of wanted to be a Mike anyway.
Why,
you know?
Why not?
Mike's a terrific name. I mean, it's just a couple letters off. That's all.
It's pretty good. Speaking of Mike Grody, he had a very hot take about the Bears and their future. Oh, yeah. You are going to hear. Ordinarily, this show wouldn't be like, stick around for a hot take.
Because it is a hot take.
It is flaming hot like Cheetos. And we are going to play it for you, and then we are going to discuss. Mark Grody is here for Dan Bernstein. I'm Lawrence Holmes. It's Bernstein and Holmes. We're here with you until 2 o'clock. We will have the Matt Eberflus press conference at 11:30, and hopefully we'll know something about Justin Fields. All that's coming up. Thanks for hanging out. You're listening to The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
Hello.
No. No.
By the way, I didn't have as many dealings with Mitch as Groats did. Apparently wonderful human being. Like, nice guy.
Yeah.
I always felt bad because it's like, you know, this. He didn't do that. Like, he tried to get better. He didn't draft himself, but he was the guy that's like, oh, that's enough of that.
How about he's like at North Carolina, is having a good year, and then he starts to hear from people, dude, you might be a top first round pick, and he's like, what? Seriously?
I wonder if there was any like imposter syndrome that went on with him where he's like, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
I wonder if it has gone on with any of these quarterbacks, like Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, who we keep mentioning. Like, do you think that those guys were like, ooh, really?
Yeah.
You're picking me where?
You're right. And with the other guys, like, I imagine there was a rage inside of Justin Fields as he saw his name, like the way that he got knocked, and like, you're like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I've been at least the number two quarterback for the last 4 years, going back to eighth grade. I've been at least that. Yeah. And now, like,
what's this?
Like, who's that guy? Like, that guy sucks.
Yeah. And I remember on draft day, one of the things, I think I did a show on The Score after the draft that night. And one of the things that a lot of people were saying about Justin Fields was he didn't seem happy to be there. But now I've learned that that's just Justin.
Yeah.
Justin is not an excitable person. That is just, he's just not.
He's got a slower heartbeat.
He does.
It's one of those.
It's not bad. It's just, it is what it is. You know, like, he is just a relaxed person who does not get excitable about things. And that the way he was that night is the way he is with us just about every single week. Understated and not excitable.
Tonight, when I leave here, I'm going to go over to NBC Sports Chicago. I am going to host Unfiltered because everyone's on vacation and they're like, Lawrence, you ain't going nowhere. You want to come over here and host the show? Yes, I do. Last night, Mike Grody, my partner
That's
today.
Right. Me. So Kenny Williams called me. Hello, Mike. Hi, Ken.
He was on yesterday and got a little takey.
Quarterback?
I do.
You want quarterback?
What's that?
You want quarterback?
Oh, well, that's a show. You know what? I mean,
you're going quarterback.
No, listen. I think Justin Fields is the guy.
I agree.
But would it be the worst thing in the world? We have all followed this franchise.
Yes, for decades.
Through the years. Would it be the worst thing in the world if the Bears had two really good quarterbacks
on
their roster?
Sports would radio really... would just go absolutely insane.
It's a dream.
The fan.
Chuck, no, dream. That,
not his dream.
This is, we're going to be talking about this, the whole backup. Who should be the backup? Who should be the starter? It'll be a drama. It'll be a soap opera. There should be one guy.
But for once, a good soap opera.
That would be true.
We're not talking.
We would go from having no quarterbacks for the last 30 years to two.
Yeah, we're not talking about, is it going to be Todd Collins or Caleb Haney? Is this the week we start Chad Hutchinson? No. You would have two competent Bears fans deserve two really good quarterbacks.
With an offensive line can hopefully protect them.
Which is why,
that's what
Chuck,
$100 million is for in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why, if I really had to pick, I'm saying I wouldn't mind.
So what quarterback would you take?
The quarterback? I don't know. But
someone who would be just as good as Justin Fields, maybe better.
But thinking logically, yeah. Offensive line. Yes. Offensive line.
Yes, that's what I would.
Because it's in part, I don't know what percentage of Justin Fields' issues are because of the offensive line, but I know there is a percentage of that being the reason Justin Fields has not been effective as a passer.
All right, you worked yourself back from the abyss.
I did.
There.
Yeah. But you saw, I mean, they kind of led me into it.
Because
that was Chuck Garfine and Josh Schrock, by the way.
Yeah.
Who kind of led me in. Oh, Grody, you're not thinking quarterback. And I said, well.
Quarterback?
I do.
You want quarterback?
Was that?
You want quarterback?
Oh.
See, Schrock. Schrock started all that, but I didn't mind it because here is the actual take. The actual take is I wouldn't be mad if the Bears were to do that. Like if they pulled that curveball on us, and it would be a curveball because I know where they need all the help on this team everywhere. But if they were to do it, with the number 5 selection in the draft, the Bears take one of the quarterbacks available. I would not be angry. I would think it very interesting.
I would be angry if they did that. And the reason why is that I think there's so much value, like we're talking about. These GMs talk themselves into players that aren't good. So why not take advantage of that? The Bears have to rebuild everything. Everything. Like, there isn't a position group that you wouldn't want to, you couldn't look at them and go, they need help there. Like, every single one of their position groups is a place where they need help. So to me, if you are sitting on the 3rd pick, you should ransom it. Like, you should absolutely ransom it to teams that need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And some places, look, you might even be able to ransom it to, I don't know, the team up north. Because they have to really start thinking about what happens next.
They do.
And I don't know if it's Jordan Love. I haven't seen enough of him to be convinced one way or the other.
I think maybe I have.
You might, and you're probably right. Yeah. And the odds say that you're probably right. But if you're trying to keep the line of succession going with quarterbacks, like, that's a franchise where you go, you guys need a quarterback, don't you?
But if the Bears,
how about you give up some of them picks, yo?
Hey, isn't it something they could hold for, you know, quote unquote ransom or as an asset if they were to draft it as well?
I think the problem is that the pick is more valuable than the person. Like, because
of course, unless the person is just a slam dunk,
right? You trade the pick so that those teams can pick the quarterback they want. Instead of playing the game of, we're going to draft the quarterback that you want, and then we're going to act like they got our
hat
on.
Not that. I'm saying, like, keep them on your, you know, like Jimmy Garoppolo with Tom Brady in New England. RG3 and Kirk Cousins,
that
right?
That clearly in causes problems, though, that maybe you don't want. I think
In terms of what?
In terms of, well, with Garoppolo, it was, the coach wanted him to play. The owner didn't.
No, nor did Tom Brady.
Tom Brady for sure didn't
and
want
maybe
him
that's
to
why
play.
Maybe that's why the owner, because didn't Tom Brady not like are always jealous of him or didn't want to hear about this other handsome guy.
Right. Yeah. And that's why some people think that it was a sweetheart deal to send him to San Francisco. Like, it was a perfect place for him to land, no matter what the compensation was, that Bill Belichick was kind of doing him a favor because he knew that he could work out there.
Yeah.
I think that it makes it really difficult if you have another one of those type of guys when you have need. Like, if
but you could use that for other needs. You have that in your back pocket. And who knows? Maybe he does come off the bench and he's a really good quarterback for you. I mean, I mean it when I say it would be really nice to have that comfort for once that we're thinking Trevor Siemian, oh, he's going to be fine. Chase Daniel, oh, you know, he was
Hall of Famer at the bank.
Absolutely. 100%. But we have seen, like, Bears fans forever have seen that scenario. I mean, I joked that the Todd Collins and Caleb Haney, I mean, we could play that game. Todd we could play Collins. The court. We could play. And, you know, drafting a quarterback fourth or fifth in the draft somewhere, what is that? David Fales? Is that what you're going to get out of that? I mean, so.
I think that if you're trading the number three pick, you're probably looking to get from another team multiple ones. Whether you're talking about a switch pick and then an additional pick or a number one for next year, like that number three overall pick is worth a ton. If you just look at the trades that happened this year, I mean, look at what, like, the Bears gave up a second round pick for Chase Claypool, which we need to talk about at some point today.
Good.
But with that number three pick, I'm not even looking at the draft board. Let's say that the team at six wants to move to three because they want to make sure that they get the quarterback that they want, and they're looking at the board and they're like, all right, Hendon Hooker might be there at three. I want to take Hendon Hooker and make him my quarterback. You're going to be able to play that against multiple teams and get the best deal.
Yeah.
And considering that you need an entire new front seven, probably, if you're the Bears, you need kind of an entire offensive line. You got to start getting guys on inexpensive rookie deals. The $100 million that people keep talking about with the Bears and saying, oh, well, they've got all this money. They're not going to spend all of that money in one cycle. And you have to be careful about that because you don't want to put yourself in a bad cap situation going forward. Some of the help is going to have to come from the draft. And whether that's, you know, you Will Anderson that you end up taking at six or whatever, or Carter because you need help at three technique, you want to get as many high picks as you can, and that number three pick will allow you to do that.
So this would truly be the year, if we are talking about it logically, where when they start to talk about things like choosing the best player, that is the right move for the Bears, because if they do need everything, and I guess I like looking at their team and let's think about where they don't need as many resources. And I think that we can look at the secondary and say they need stuff. They definitely need a bench when it comes to that. But Jalen Johnson, you know you're set with one money man at cornerback.
I know that Jalen Johnson is good. I'm curious if they're going to pay him because he's up for an opportunity to get paid. I think that they need at least another starter at corner.
Probably. It depends on the development of Kyler Gordon and whether they think he'll make the jump.
Even if, because I see him as a slot. I see him as...
What about Vildor? I mean, is Vildor the guy? Like, if you're going to pay Jalen Johnson, Vildor might be the perfect complement. Like, you can't pay both positions,
sure.
Right? So,
how about let's talk about that. We'll take a break and we'll talk about that. And we'll empty Grody's Bears notebook. Why? Because he's there every day. Bears. See?
Nice. See? You and I, man.
Yep. Bernstein and Holmes. Holmes and Grody today until 2 on the score.
Bears. Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Mark Grody is sitting in for Dan Bernstein. Dan lost his voice yesterday, so he's got an early release to the holiday. I'm sure he's cooking right now, not worrying at all about this show that has his name on it.
I think he's probably listening. Dan's a listener.
I think he's got other stuff to do.
Yeah, but that's perfect. Like, the score is perfect for when you're cooking or doing stuff around the house, inside or outside. Put the earbuds in and have it as your background or active listening, however you want to do it. So I don't know. I think Dan's listening.
After I got my booster shot, that next day I was like, so, you know, Mitch gave me the day off. He's like, just go home because it's stupid. And so I had Dan and Layla on the Twitch stream on my TV before I passed out because I felt fine when I woke up. And I was like, I don't feel fine anymore.
Yeah.
I feel weird. And now I'm down for the count. and I literally just went, whoop.
That's it.
Fell asleep on the couch.
That's what I call. So there are days where I go home and I have nothing to do. And I'm like, I am just going to let my couch do whatever it wants to do to
me. Okay.
I'm going to lay down. And if I fall asleep, great. If I flip on the TV, if I turn on the whatever, I am going to let the couch do its thing. And usually when that happens, it's a nap.
That's my Pac-12 after dark, like Friday night or Saturday night, where I'm like, okay, I've hung out with people or I've gone to dinner. I'm doing like whatever. And then I get home. I'm like, oh, yeah, let me just kind of lay down and watch this UCLA Washington State game.
Break it down.
Just see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I wake up and it's the third quarter. I'm like, oh, this game's still on.
But it's pretty awesome, though, because you know you've slept. So you've done something good for yourself.
Correct.
And you woke up. Game's still on.
There's still some football to be watched.
Things have changed. The score is different now. Everything's a little fuzzy.
Kind of.
At this point. But that's going to actually be my day today. After this, after having done the night show last night and getting up early today, I will go home for a couch nap today before I go out tonight.
What are you thinking tonight? Are you going to go get some dinner or what?
I just remembered, per my friend Lisa yesterday, I'm going to see Tributosaurus tonight, man.
What?
I'm going to go see Spiegel be Bruce Springsteen.
All right. We need to put a pin in that.
Okay.
Because I would like to talk about that.
Good.
Okay. We also need to have you empty your notebook. You are our Bears beat reporter. What do we need to know?
Yeah, a couple things that you should know, by the way. We are carrying Matt Eberflus a little bit later on, around, 11:30 or so? And then we have learned that we will carry Justin Fields' press conference, assuming it is him.
So wait. Brandon, Mike, Mark, and Mike. Are we carrying the press conference if it's Trevor Siemian? Brandon?
I wouldn't want to hear it.
Let's leave it up to the fans. 312-644-6767. We know what Fryer thinks.
So we're all thumbs down on if it's Trevor Siemian, we're not carrying that. Okay. All right. I just wanted to know.
Right. I didn't vote yet. I'm still thinking about it. Do I want to hear from Trevor Siemian? I kind of do, just to see what the questions would be and to see how the media would handle it.
Okay. So 3-1. We're not carrying the Trevor Siemian press conferences. There is one. You were saying, though.
Okay. Oh, emptying the notebook. Here's what I was saying. If because we haven't really talked about Justin Fields and what he did last week, just because the whole thing has been his left shoulder. And there is a little bit of a remnant from the Atlanta game, that a cut from Justin Fields that I wanted to play, because although Justin Fields did run up some pretty nice numbers with his legs against Atlanta, Atlanta did a pretty good job of keeping him from going crazy in that game. And Justin Fields did explain at the end of his press conference what it was that Atlanta was doing, because I think this could inform other defenses.
Yeah, they were just, with their DNs on the zone read, they were just mesh charge rather than, you know, letting me read their DNs and, you know, get around them. So that's kind of how they handled the zone read game. And, you know, they were playing a lot of quarters just to have that, you know, safety come down and help in the run game. And, so that's the, you know, biggest thing they did.
So I think that that's like the first crack in defending Justin Fields, where it is going to be, as long as Justin Fields is this version, that's what every defensive coordinator is going to be obsessing over, how to do it, how to stop and slow down. And teams will be able to slow him. Doesn't mean they're going to stop him.
Yeah, I think stopping him is almost impossible if he's healthy.
Yeah. He's a terrific runner.
Athlete.
I mean, he's a terrific athlete.
He really is. And your defensive ends have to be super disciplined.
Oh, yeah.
They got to be
and
good.
Athletic.
And they got to be disciplined to pull that off.
Oh, my God.
But the cloud coverage aspect of dropping 7 or dropping 8 into coverage and making him find the windows, I think you're going to see a ton of that.
Oh, yeah. And if he does play against the Jets, like a lot of people are like, oh, no, the Jets are so good. Like, sit him down, throw Trevor out there. No, this is exactly the type of defense that I would like to see Justin Fields playing against. I don't think he should play this week, though, for a lot of, I mean, the second time he's had a left shoulder injury and 2 weeks worth of something wrong with his legs.
If there can be no harm, then I want him out there. If there is a possibility of harm, I do not want him out there. There's a ton of stuff for us to discuss around the NFL. You got a coach getting fired because he was getting handsy in Mexico. Deshaun Watson's back on campus. Mike Florio is going to join us to talk about all of those things. It's the Bernstein and Holmes Show. Lawrence and Groats here with you until 2 on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.